And now, from the land of fear. Forward. In praise of his spirits, noble and otherwise. From Dante's Inferno, Canto 3, verses 22 to 31. Here sighs, plaints, and deep wailings resounded through the starless air. It made me weep at first. Strange tongues, horrible outcries, words of pain, tones of anger, voices deep and hoarse, and sounds of hands among them, made a tumult which turns itself unceasing in that air forever died, as sand when it eddies in a whirlwind. Preamble. Harlan Ellison wrote the stories in this book, and they come from all over that strange thing we call a writing career. When a man is a writer, and writing means as much to him as it does to some of us, his career and his life are pretty much inseparable things. He is what he is because of everything he's been, up until the now that equals the current is, and the writing is an integral part of the now, of its composition, and the is of that time's being for him. I don't know how else to put it without breeding a sudden metaphysic. Now, many of these stories come from nows long gone by, and from many an is which has since become a was. In other words, they're from all over that thing we call a writing career, and because of this, they differ from one another, which is a good thing indeed for those of us who would, in a way, observe a pilgrim in his progress. They differ because of a thing called growth. About growth, it means getting bigger, one way or another. Now, forget essential biology and switch to the psyche. The voice you will hear in such things as Battle Without Banners is the voice of a bigger man than Time of the Eye. Why? That man knows more because he's lived more, is more. That's why. And growth operates on many levels. One, of course, is that of technical competence. Another, and I think more important one, is insight / outsight / hindsight / foresight. This capacity increases as one gets bigger. What would Thomas Mann or Hokusai be like if they'd lived to be 150 and remained in full possession of this capacity? I wish I knew. I love them both. After reading Harlan's introduction to this volume, I hope that he makes it at least that far, for he made a promise in there, knowing it or no, and he's a man who keeps his promises. Harlan is around my age, and he was born in Painesville, Ohio, like 25 miles east of Euclid, Ohio, which is where I'm from, and we grew up that close to one another without ever running into each other and saying, "Hi, you want to write too, huh?" I wish I had known him in those early, and I suppose the word is formative, days. I wish I had known him then, because I like him now. Harlan, I'm happy to say, is a man free of influences. He is his own man, come hell or high water, and that's one of the things I love about him. He will freely acknowledge a debt to such a humane and exceedingly capable writer as Lester Del Rey, but this will be in the way of a journeyman's compliment to the man who taught him how to use certain tools, because he and Lester Del Rey really have very little in common in the way of style and thematic materials. Harlan is eclectic when it comes to subject matter, autodidactic when it comes to what he knows, offensively personal, in a military, not pejorative sense, when it comes to telling you about it, and to use a Henry James term, because it applies here, he is possessed of his own angle of vision. Whatever he sees, he sees. It is never anybody else's borrowed view of the subject that informs his materials. He is his own camera, period. And in all these respects, he has grown, is growing, will, I feel, continue to grow, because he's got something inside him that won't let him rest until he says what he must, at any given moment, say. Okay, so much for uniqueness. I call him unique, and I mean to honor him by it. End of preamble. Beginning of amble. What does it take to be a writer, and why? The quotation from Dante, which I stuck at the head of this piece, contains the answer. There are these sounds, this tumult, turning in that air, forever dyed, eddying in a neat simile, and beginning with that all-important word, hear. Everybody hears the sounds. Some people listen, and a writer, for some damn fool reason, wants to put them down on paper and talk about them, here, right now. So that's the answer to the question. Some damn fool reason. It's why Dante wrote too. My damn fool thing, the thing inside me that makes me say what I have to say, is a thing that I don't understand at all, and sometimes I curse it because it keeps me awake at night. So I can't tell you what Harlan's is, but go look at those 9 lines of Dante's once more. They're filled with spirits, making the kind of sounds you will hear in this book. That's why I put them there. Harlan writes about sighs, plaints, deep wailings, strange tongues, horrible outcries, words of pain, tones of anger, voices deep and hoarse, and the sounds of hands moving to do many things. It's been around 4 years since I last read The Inferno, but when I sat down to write this piece, those lines suddenly came into my head. Because of the fact that I trust my personal demon when it comes to matters such as this, they're valid. Listen to the sigh in My Brother Paulie, just there at the end. The plaint in A Friend to Man. The deep wailings in Battle Without Banners. The strange tongues in Life Hutch. The horrible outcry of We Mourn for Anyone. The words of pain in Time of the Eye. The tones of anger and Back to the Drawing Boards, and the voices deep and hoarse in The Sky is Burning. And there are hands moving everywhere, slapping, poking, gesturing hands. I think Harlan Ellison is a pilgrim, and in this book we have a chance to observe his progress. These stories are culled from nows as far back as 1957 and as current as our now, 10 years later. What does it take to be a writer, and why? Maybe a pilgrim instinct, a thing akin to the sentiments of all those dead lemmings, is a part of it. Any writer from Daphne du Maurier to Joseph Heller is an idealist. Idealists are always turned on and hung up, and if they write, they turn themselves on, wring themselves out, and hang themselves up to dry where everybody can see. I suspect Harlan is a naked pilgrim. He's always turning on, wringing out, and hanging up in public, sans clothing. He's a wise guy who insists on telling you the whole story. So, okay. The form he will insist on exhibiting is always interesting. You may disagree like all hell with him, but as with Jacob's angel, you'll know you've been in a fight. He's that kind of writer. He's busy surviving. So if you get a knee below the belt, well then, the pilgrim profession is kind of rough. That pacifist he thinks he might be is quite willing to rabbit punch you to get his point across. I don't see any contradiction in that. I won't hit you with a word like enantiodromia. But I will suggest the anecdote of the old bishop, who had taken a vow not to draw blood, and so rode off to the Crusades, bearing a smooth mace. End of amble. Beginning of sprint. The circle is drawn. The words will now be spoken, and the spirits will then appear, one by one, from out that dark land. It remains only for you to learn where some dreams stray, and the ones that didn't will pass then before you. Be prepared. Be prepared. Here's Harlan. Beginning of flight. Fasten your seatbelts, please. Roger Zelazny, Baltimore, Maryland.